Guys, before we jump into today's show, want to talk to you about draft. Of course, you know, you've listened to other fantasy podcasts, sports podcasts. They're talking about draft. It is one of the most popular new daily fantasy sports apps. You have to download it on your phone. Listen, here's a couple things. One, your chances of winning on draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites like FDDK. Obviously, we know we're all playing on those formats. The research is there, but you got to try draft, okay? 1 million people have already downloaded it. It's a snake draft style, just like you would do in your normal season long, under 5 minutes. It's really, really, really enjoyable. And all new players are getting a free entry into a real money draft. So long as you sign up, you make your first deposit, and you use the promo code from our show, Lineup DFS. Okay, so just skip the logic. Lineup DFS, you get a free entry there by using that promo code. Okay, now here's the thing that's really, really great. They are so, so committed to satisfaction that Draft is going to give listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100 if you don't like it. If you're not into it, you contact Draft, you say, this isn't for me, I don't like the format, it doesn't fit, they'll refund you. Bottom line is, Draft is a great way to play DFS for casual players. You've got a great opportunity here to get a nice bonus by signing up with the promo code LINEUPDFS. They're committed to player satisfaction, so get over there, download Draft, sign up, use our promo code LINEUPDFS to let them know you came from us. Let's get into the show. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in, Lineup Logic DFS Podcast, 2018 edition. Spoiler alert, it's going to be the same as 2017. I'm back, man. I'm back. Listen, I had to take the vacation, the family. It was actually really nice to not have to bury my face in stats and do deadlines and all that kind of stuff, and actually just kind of watch some games on Christmas Day without any money on the line, no tilt involved, no research involved, and just kind of step back from the whole thing. Hope you guys had awesome holidays. Hope you had a nice Christmas, New Year's, etc. Of course, now more college football to watch. Going to be interested in down here in Tennessee. It is basically like we are going to be watching a small nuclear explosion occur in Georgia across the border, you know, because we're like right on the border. I'm right on the border of Alabama and Georgia. I'm just kind of quietly like standing outside of two friends who are fist fighting. Like, okay, guys, I don't know if this is good. Going to be bananas. Should be a good game. And we got DFS to worry about now, man. I mean, we got basketball is here. It is NBA time, bread and butter. Of course, you guys know, if you want to get in on some of the action, this is the time to do it with Lineup Logic Premium. You go over to patreon.com/lineuplogic. You can get a $15 package, and you get our cheat sheet, our Slack chat, plus Fantasy 5x5. You get the Fantasy 5x5 subscription, of course, lumped in there as well with your subscription to Lineup Logic DFS. It's the way to do it, man. It's the way to do it. Fantasy 5x5, one of the best, if not the best, personally think it's the best one-stop destination for NBA DFS research, our analytics partner over there. I'm using that on a daily basis. And speaking of Fantasy 5x5, let's go ahead and head over to there and figure out what we have in the way of Vegas and injuries on tonight's Tuesday five-game slate. All right, the headliner tonight, Portland at Cleveland. 212.5 total here. Cleveland favored by 8. And, of course, the big news is IT expected to play tonight. Should be a good one here for them. Damian Lillard did have a hamstring, but he has said he will play. So we are looking at both teams at full strength. Now, Kevin Love is the only one that's questionable right now, and he has an illness tag. So we'll see. You know, who knows? If Kevin Love doesn't play, I mean, it just makes you really like LeBron even more. Possibly you could see some, definitely see some extra minutes for Tristan Thompson. Of course, inside the paint, Portland has still been a pretty good defensive team. They're still top five in defensive efficiency, and Cleveland is still bottom five in defensive efficiency. So I do think Cleveland wins this game. I don't think it's a blowout. I think you're probably going to see some good numbers, some good fantasy numbers. You're going to want exposure here because it's going to be a high-scoring, high-profile game, and I think, you know, you're going to see a lot of guys bring their A game, both these teams coming off a decent amount of rest as well. The San Antonio Spurs at the Knicks, 200-point total here. Spurs favored by 4 on the road. Kawhi should play tonight. He rested the last one. He should play tonight. He played a season-high 28 minutes in his last game out. So we're seeing him creep back up into that 30-minute range. You know Pop's not going to do anything crazy, especially against a bad team like the Knicks. Kristaps Porzingis, out of his gourd right now. Like literally one of the highest usage players in the NBA. Just going berserk. Hasn't gone below 44 fantasy points in the last four games. Of course, before that, you know, he had a real nice, like, six-pointer against Boston, but has been just uncontrollable since Christmas, more or less. So someone that we want to keep our eye on, and even played well in San Antonio in that last game that they just played. So, you know, definitely seems to be just dominating. I mean, just, and that's the way this team should be built, right? That they should be built. So, got to think about Kristaps in this one. Atlanta at the Phoenix Suns. 108-109 total. Phoenix favored by 1 here at home. This is the Spider-Man meme. Two Spider-Mans pointing at each other. This is it. This is that game. Both teams are terrible. Both teams are terrible at defense. You attack both teams in the paint. You attack both teams on the wing. And you play everybody. I mean, you're going to want exposure to this game. Highest total right now. Yeah, it should remain the highest total as well. Yeah, highest total. Highest total and highest pace and worst defense. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know what else you want me to say. The only thing that I'm keeping a very close eye on is the center rotation. Tyson Chandler has been getting the majority of the minutes there and should be back in line to play because they haven't had it back-to-back or anything serious like that. You haven't seen anything from we really haven't seen any minutes from Greg Monroe at all unless Tyson Chandler rests, but Tyson Chandler has not been resting, and he played almost 30 minutes in his last two games. So I don't know, you know, maybe he's really feeling healthy and they're just going to roll with that. You know, behind him is basically Alex Len for the remainder of those minutes. You know, it's always difficult to project what they're going to do at the four between Dragan Bender, Josh Jackson, and Marquese Chris. But in this situation, I have to think that Marquese Chris will probably get some good run against John Collins. And speaking of the opposite side of this one, the Atlanta rotation, you know, no real injuries. Like, they're actually back to kind of normal health. Whereas, you know, we had so many problems with them in the front court earlier with no Ilyasova and Collins. So those guys are back. They're fine as they've been for the last couple of weeks. I know I feel like I'm recapping some of the things that I'm trying to remember as I do some of these games. So, you know, definitely some value to be had in the Atlanta front court as well as we look at this game. We'll talk about a bunch of different players. Like, you're going to probably want three or four different guys from this game in your lineup just to get a taste of the highest over under and the worst defenses on the slate. So, definitely a game that I am interested. Moving on to the last game of the night, that is Memphis at the Clippers. I skipped one. Charlotte at the Kings, 104-100 total here. 204 total with Charlotte favored by 4 on the road. Now Charlotte's just—they've been playing poorly this season. I mean, they're bad. Their record is terrible, but they're still definitely the better team than the Kings. you know, the biggest thing about the rotation here in Charlotte is really that even though Marvin Williams is the starter in name, he's really pretty much losing all of his minutes to Frank. They're really not giving him a lot of good run. Jeremy Lamb and Nick Batum are almost in a dead even, not quite in a dead even split, but two-thirds to one-third more or less as far as their minutes go. You know, but Frank the Tank seems to be creeping up more towards the 25 to 30 minute range. So, you know, not a lot to love in this rotation, because a lot of guys are just getting not quite enough minutes for what their role is. And of course, the only guy that you really ever play on Charlotte, the only guys you ever play on Charlotte are Kemba and Dwight Howard, who both could very much be in play here. Now, on the Sacramento side of things, you have an injuries at the point guard position. Frank Mason is injured, and De'Aaron Fox is questionable. Now, if both of those guys sit, you obviously have to go get George Hill and just get in there. And I think George Hill very much in play anyway. He hasn't really dipped below 24, 25 minutes recently at all. So he is very interesting to me. And I think that's where it stops. You know, I mean, I would love to play Zach Randolph in this situation just because his price has been dipping, but he just hasn't been getting the minutes. He's been losing those minutes because they brought Scala BCA back up from the D League, and they've been getting him some developmental minutes. Costa Kufos has been getting some minutes, who I think he'll probably get minutes against Dwight just from a size perspective, you know, just to match him as far as rebounds go, you know, and they've been giving, of course, Jakar Simpson, of course, right? Yeah, you definitely need Jakar Simpson at the four. So Zebo not really getting a lot of minutes recently. I'm not really sure what that's all about, but we can't play him until he's playing 30 minutes, and that just hasn't been the case recently. So not my favorite game of the night. Memphis at the Clippers. This one is interesting. 205 total here. Clippers favored by 5 at home. Of course, Blake is back. His price is up. He's been playing really well. The thing that you don't like about Memphis, let's not get fooled here. Memphis defensively, not a great team. They're not that great this year. They really aren't. However, from a pace perspective, they're a nightmare. They're literally the slowest team in the league. So they're still playing a very, very slow pace, not a very fantasy-friendly matchup for them, for the Clippers. So you can't really go to too many Clippers here in this situation. But I am keeping an eye on Blake's performance. He's been playing very, very well in his last two games. Consistent is what you want to see from Blake. The problem is that his price goes up so quickly. And I don't know why that is, but his price goes up. Keeping an eye on Austin Rivers. He had a questionable tag and sat out a couple games ago. So we'll see if he plays there. And it's hard to project value in the backcourt of the Clippers right now, with Teodosic kind of getting more minutes on certain nights and Rivers getting certain minutes, you know, minutes on certain nights, and Lou Williams every once in a while exploding and getting a ton of run and usage. Honestly, DJ is one of the easiest to project assets, nearly 20 rebounds in all of his last five games. He's been unstoppable in that, but only taking about 5 shots. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. No one wants to give him the ball to shoot. I just don't understand it. He's just like, it's defense only. Like they just stopped doing pick and roll. Nobody can do pick and roll. Like Chris Paul's gone and no one knows how to play pick and roll in this NBA basketball team. On the Memphis side of things, you know, we're keeping an eye on and there's some value here. You know, Andrew Harrison has been playing kind of an inconsistent number of minutes. Like we saw him up to 30 minutes before and around Christmas. And then all of a sudden after Christmas, those numbers just disappeared. So not really sure what's going on there. But Chandler Parsons is out, so we do know that we're going to have some more minutes at the 3, maybe at the 2 here. So you could look at Andrew Harrison again in this situation. Tyreke Evans, way too expensive to play, even though he's been playing phenomenally well. Well, I'm not way too expensive. That's not fair. I mean, he's been out of his gourd. He has been their best scorer, and getting to the line in a couple games here recently, taking over 15, nearly 20 attempts per game, distributing well, getting assists, you know, and just, I mean, playing phenomenally from a scoring perspective, which is exactly what he does. He is a straight scorer. So you have to like Tyreek. You have to continue to think that he's playable. The problem is the price point. Now you're actually paying what is a reasonable price tag, or excuse me, the correct price tag for a guy like Tyreek Evans, even though, we weren't expecting him to be this expensive. He is. I mean, he's 9K now on FanDuel. Now, on DK, I think you could still get away with it, but that's pretty tight. I think he's a pivot play there. So it's interesting. It's an interesting thought to go there. But again, not my favorite game in the world. Well, I say it's not my favorite game in the world. I really like it for pivots. I think it's a natural game. It's a natural pivot. Like, you have a lot of players in that game that you can just say, okay, I'm not going to play Dame. I'm going to play Tyreek Evans. You know, I'm not going to play, Dwight Howard. I'm not going to play Kevin Love. I'm going to play DeAndre Jordan. You know, stuff like that. I think it's going to be a natural pivot, and you're going to find just generally lower ownership because it's not, these two teams are not particularly playing well this year. So I think you can find some good leverage there as a late hammer in that Clippers game. All right, let's go into the player breakdown, figure out who we love. Who do you love? Okay, you guys know how it goes. Like I mentioned, it's going to be the exact same. You know, 2018 brings almost no changes to my personal process and lifestyle. At the top of the slate, point guard is, I mean, it's Damian Lillard. Now, he's not over normally, guys. I'm going to start with the players over 9.5 to give you these studs, but we really only have one. And that's LeBron. So, I mean, I don't want to just talk about LeBron. I guess I'll just talk about kind of the higher price plays here at the position. Damian Lillard versus Cleveland. He's 8,900 on FD, 85 on DK. He's coming back from the hamstring, which is concerning because you do have the option, or excuse me, you do have the possibility that it just doesn't feel right and he can't go. Or he plays like he's been playing in the last five games before that. 37 minutes on average in the last five, over a fantasy point per minute. He's taking over 15 attempts per game. He's had double-digit assists in a few of those. Nearly 30% usage. He's just been really good. And in a slate that is kind of thin at the point guard position, I think everybody will gravitate towards Dennis Schroeder, naturally. You probably will see some Tyler Ulis just because he's been named the starter. You'll probably see a lot of George Hill in cash games just because of the injuries to the backcourt there in Sacramento. But Dame is also probably going to attract some attention because Cleveland is 28th in defensive efficiency, 22 to DVP. Obviously, with Isaiah Thomas back, you go, okay, how are these rotations going to change? But you're not necessarily concerned about the defense from Isaiah. I mean, Dame is already four, five inches taller than he is. Isaiah is probably going to be in a limited role. My guess is that he's probably not going to play a full 30 minutes. If he does, then he is a phenomenal value and we all should play him. If for some reason we get some sort of Ty Lue, like, you know, presser statement that's like, I don't expect to limit Isaiah at all. I think he'll be able to play a full complement of minutes. Something like that. My Ty Lue impression, not very good. I'm trying to do that like very calm voice. I don't know how to do a Ty Lue impression. If he's back and he's playing full minutes, then, you know, you have zero issue with Damian Lillard, going up against him. I mean, it's really not a concern. I think what you like here in this situation is that this is the type of game where Damian Lillard probably shows up, right? This isn't a random no-show for him. He's taken a couple nights of rest off the hamstring. You hope he's fresh. You hope he feels good. You hope he's not playing through something. And you just take the highest usage player in one of the highest scoring, high profile games, right? Or on one side of the team, one side. At the shooting guard position, we'll talk about a couple guys here that I'm interested in. But obviously, I just talked about Tyreek. Tyreek is listed shooting guard. He's listed point guard eligible on DraftKings. And, you know, It's hard not to love what he's been doing lately just because of how consistent he has been in his attempts. He's 9K on FanDuel, but the attempts are really like the floor for a guy like a shooting guard like this, right? The attempts are the floor. He is taking over 20 attempts per game. He's scoring over 20 points per game. He knows how to get to the rim. You're not worried about usage being taken away from him. You're not worried about a lot of problems with the Clippers defense, especially on the wings. They've been terrible. So I have no issue with Tyreek Evans. And in fact, I think he's a natural pivot from Devin Booker, who a lot of people will play, but frankly, Devin Booker's just been playing just as well, and his matchup is just as good, and he's at home. So there we'll talk a little bit more about Devin Booker in a second. Now, at small forward, it's LeBron versus Portland. I mean, why not? He's been, he's rested for 3 days. He's 11-5, reasonable price. FanDuel, DraftKings, very similar price at 11-7 on DK. He's had over 50 and has averaged over 50 in the last five. It's not quite where you want him to be at this price point. You want him over 55. But he did go over 60 twice, and he had 29 against the Warriors. What an outlier. I mean, just kind of a strange performance there. Of course, we do know Kevin Durant. I mean, what a dominant defensive performance from Kevin Durant, who absolutely fouled him four different times and probably actually should have been ejected earlier in that game. Guys, if there's one thing that's going to be 2018 theme from this podcast, it's that Kevin Durant has fallen hard in my book. I used to be a KD guy. Like, I loved him. When he was at Texas, when he was at OKC, I liked the Slim Reaper, the quiet kid. I hate him now. He's the kid at the back of the class who tells Draymond Green every 5 minutes that he thinks he's the coolest guy in the world. And it's obnoxious. He's like a 30-year-old man and he acts like a 14-year-old. He's a baby. I don't get it. I don't know why he changed so much. He actually used to be Slim Reaper. Like, he used to be a quiet killer. Not anymore. Now he's just kind of annoying. All right, that's enough. That is a theme that we're going to see. But LeBron struggled. And that's fine. I mean, the Golden State is good. That's fine. Portland's defensive efficiency, they're fourth in defensive efficiency. But that's not really a concern to me. I mean, look at what big usage players, studs, Harden smashed them. If we remember, he had over 70 against them on the road earlier this year. KD had a big game against them. So it's not that they necessarily have guys who can stop these high usage players. And if IT back is something that you're thinking, maybe, well, wait, is that going to affect usage? You know what? We can't necessarily project that it's going to affect anything badly. If anything, for me, it's going to be a situation where LeBron is going to try to figure out how to play out of the post a little bit more, play off the point, right? Which is great. I love him on that, in that shallow post, kind of post extended, that paint extended over there on the right or the left side. He gets back to the basket and gets a little bit of ISO work there. That's fine for me. And it's probably also going to help LeBron in the assist category, because you have another guy on the perimeter who just drills threes. And if you better believe that Isaiah's going to drill threes when LeBron hands him the ball, or gets him the ball on the perimeter. So definitely interested in that relationship. I think it's going to be fun to watch. I think LeBron plays well here at home in this situation. Evan Turner and Al-Farouq Aminu, between the two of them, that's who's going to be guarding him. They'll throw 10 fouls at him, but I don't necessarily see them stopping LeBron in this situation. I do think there's risk in fading him in cash. I don't think you have to play him in tournaments. I think in tournaments you can stack up some of these 8 and 9K guys and be a little bit different. But I think in a cash game, you just kind of anchor him and go from there. At the power forward position, I talked about Kristaps, but I don't know how to describe this. I don't know how you go from, 6 fantasy points against the Celtics and then just decide, like, okay, everything is different. I am going to now score 20 points a game on you know, a ton of shots. Like, he just goes full Devin Booker. Like, he's taking 20 shots. He's not passing the ball that much. He's rebounding. But the blocks have been out of this world. The blocks in the last four games have been absolutely bananas, which is one of the things that we forget about Kristaps Porzingis. 16 blocks in his last four games. Are you kidding me? This man has such reach. We completely, quietly forget how good he is as a rim protector and how good he is on those, you know, those little like off ball, you know, rotation blocks where he just kind of swings around behind guys and throws in an extra block, you know, whether it's in transition or whatever the case may be. But 16 blocks in the last four games. So you're generating a ton of fantasy value from those peripherals. Now, that's not a sustainable number. That's not a sustainable number. And against the Spurs last time out, if you take away those six blocks, which you don't have to, but you can take away those six blocks, you're taking away 18 fantasy points. And you're talking about a performance that was 18-7-1. That worries me. That's like less than 30 fantasy points right there. So, you know, you don't take away a guy's, you know, it's like, when you eat that football argument where it's like, well, if you take away the 90-yard run, he's not that good. It's like, you don't take away the 90-yard run. That's the point. You can't take that away. That's why he's good. You know, that was one of the arguments against Todd Gurley in his rookie season. It's like, well, they're all really long runs. So that's how he's scoring. And the argument against Tyreek Hill. It's like, this is a dumb argument. Those points count. And, you know, Kristaps' six blocks, they count. The issue is can that's not a sustainable number. I think three is a reasonable number. Okay, take away nine of those fantasy points, and you're in the 30s, so you're not getting value, right? You're not getting necessarily that 45-point value. So I don't know necessarily how much I like him. Blake, very consistent. There's nothing outlierishly strange about Blake's numbers right now. The issue is that he's going to have a down game. Like, he's always good for 4X. Do you want that? Not really. I can't get Blake right, but he's been fine. And since he's back from the knee, over 24 points in 32 minutes in both of those games, nearly 30% usage. Here's what's interesting. Six assists in both of those games. So it's very clear that he has, you know, kind of taken on and we saw some of these games earlier before where he was distributing the ball, and that makes sense, you know, out of the paint, distributing the ball out to the perimeter. I think that's really, really nice. I think that's a good stat to keep an eye on to make sure that it stays that way. If he's going to be getting them and he assists, we want to be a part of that. That's wonderful. The concern was, you know, last time out, he had Charlotte and L.A. L.A. runs the fastest pace in the league, and Charlotte actually has been running 100 possessions per game. That's great. Memphis is at 95. They're literally the slowest team in the league. So you're going to take away a ton of opportunities from Blake in this situation. I think he's too expensive to play in this spot. All right, let's move on to the Grout. So those are the highest price plays kind of across the top of the board. We'll talk about some other guys here, though. Obviously, a point guard. I think the chalk starts with Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder in Phoenix. We know who this guy is. He's just a bucket getter. He's perfectly effective at scoring 20 points, getting you 5, 6 rebounds, 4 or 5 assists, 7,700 on FanDuel, 7,300 on DK. He's been getting 32 minutes. He's been averaging 34 fantasy points per game, just about a fantasy point per minute. You know, it's exactly who we think he is. He is a great cash game play, and he is perfectly acceptable to play at this price in cash games. And we know he is a 45 to, that's about a ceiling, 45 points. The whole world is going to play him. He's a cash game guy against Phoenix. Very projectable. So join him. I mean, you're not going to do yourself any harm. Like, he's playing well enough. The role is clear enough. The matchup is good enough. You're not going to do yourself any harm by playing Schroeder. So get in there, play Dennis Schroeder, figure out what you're going to do at point guard two, you know, based on the rest of your lineups. Cause I think that there's some cheap point guard two options that you could play, you know, like, George Hill, Tony Parker. I mean, you know, Jesus, you know, you could play a Tony Parker or a Patty Mills against these bad Knicks. You know, if you want to reach up and play Dame. Or if you want to play Tyreek on DK, play Tyreek, you know, or you can play the cheap guy. There's a lot of ways to go. Depends on the rest of your roster construction. Really does. At shooting guard, it's all Devin Booker for me. Like, Devin Booker is one of my highest priority plays on this slate, no doubt about it. 8,100 on FanDuel, 91 on DK. It's one of those rare situations where the pricing, for whatever reason, on FanDuel this year, the pricing algorithms have changed there, by the way. He's still cheaper on FanDuel. So Atlanta, 28th in total defensive efficiency, running an average pace, but playing terrible defense against wings. Booker's played three games since he was back. Wow. Over 22 attempts in every single game. He's scored 32 twice. The minutes are there, anywhere between 31 to 39 minutes in those three games. The usage is there, nearly 30% usage in there. He's getting the assists. He's getting the rebounds. He picked up right where he left off. Remember, right where he left off was that game against Philadelphia. And remember that game against Toronto where he left the game? He had like 40 fantasy points before he left that game in December. So I love the way this kid is playing. I think that I just have a lot of love for his game. I think if you put him in the right situation, I think he is actually probably a good teammate. He plays really good too. I think that he could be a phenomenal piece on a team that just needs one or two more. I don't know where he fits, though. That's the problem. I don't know who needs him. Like, who has the elite point guard to go with Devin Booker? That's what I don't necessarily know. That's what I can't really solve for myself. CJ McCollum, though, is also a really, really, really great play, and I think I'll try to fit him in. He's not a priority for me over Devin Booker, but I like him. Unfortunately, this is kind of the max price point that I'll play him with Dame back. If Dame was out, then I would play him more. And who knows, if Dame's not 100%, then you're going to probably, you know, see some more attempts from CJ because you see Dame distributing more, not necessarily trying to put a lot of strain on that hamstring getting to the rim, that kind of thing. But he's getting about 32 minutes per game, nearly a fantasy point per minute. But he's been shooting better now. I mean, the last two games without Dame, he's had a usage bump. He's had a scoring bump. So you like him. You like when he's hitting the three, and he's been doing that. Nearly 20 attempts in these games. And he had 23 free throw attempts in the last three. I think that that is really interesting. If for some reason they're saying, like, you know, you just, CJ, you got to get to the line. You got to get free points to get you going. We have to make sure you're a threat off the dribble. We have to make sure you're a threat to attack the rim. You're sitting on the perimeter too much. Go get yourself fouled. Absorb a little. That is something that I like. Now, he had one game when it was like 14 attempts. But I think we should be bullish on this trend, because if a guy's trying to get more free throw attempts, then that is something that we can start to notice, and free points are free points. I love free throws. That's why I love guys like DeRozan, right? I mean, free points in your on your for your fantasy roster are phenomenal. So it's thin. It's a thin thing that I noticed. It's very thin, but I noticed it. You do have to limit your expectations with Damian Lillard back. But still, remember, Cleveland is terrible against the shooting guard, 23 DVP to that spot. So certainly a good opportunity for McCollum in a high-scoring game. I think he has to contribute in order for Portland to be relevant here. At the small forward position, TJ Warren. You may say to yourself, well, Devin Booker's back. He's not going to be as useful. It's actually not the case. He plays really well. His usage goes down, but he scores in both situations 0.94 fantasy points per minute. You know, without Devin Booker on the floor, he's actually minus 0.01 fantasy points per minute. So it's not a thing. Like, they play well together. He's been averaging on the season 0.98 fantasy points per minute, 32 minutes per game, 24% usage. Atlanta's been terrible on the wing. We know that. They're 28th in DVP to the position. We've been attacking them at the small forward all year long. So certainly interested in some TJ Warren here in this situation. We know he'll be getting the run. We know he'll be taking some shots, doing the peripheral thing. So I think he's a good mid-level play if you can fit him in. I'm not going to force him in. I'm going to try to get LeBron in there, but I'll play him if he fits my process. Kawhi versus the Knicks is quietly an interesting play, okay? He had a season high, 28 minutes, then he took a rest, okay? He gets bad Knicks defense. He could see the most minutes of the year. I don't think you can play him in cash games, but, okay, but, we know that Kawhi is very capable of going well over fantasy point per minute. Here, he's got a 26% usage rate. He's clearly feeling comfortable. I mean, I think it's a DK play, 6,700. The issue that I have here really is that you're paying the exact same price for TJ Warren, and you know TJ Warren is going to get the minutes. Whereas if they go and they blow out the Knicks and it's, you know, they're up by 12 by halftime, Pop is going to probably not play Kawhi down the stretch. That's just how he does it. I mean, we have no reason to believe that Kawhi should get more minutes. However, he's been playing really well. I mean, he's been phenomenally efficient. He's averaged 24 fantasy points per game, but he's only played one game where he's had 28 fantasy points. So, 28 minutes. So if all of a sudden he gets up to, look, I mean, he went 20, 26, 27. My guess is he goes 28, 30, somewhere in there. So he's not a cash game play, but there's going to be a game coming. We gotta be aware of that. There's going to be a game. At power forward, you could do LaMarcus Aldridge, too. I mean, he's the same price as Kawhi. Well, he's not the same price as Kawhi, but he is. He's 7,500. He's in the similar price range. I think he's a sneaky play. There's not a lot of rebounds to be had against them. I don't think I'm playing him on FanDuel at 85. I think he's tournament only there. But, you know, the difference is that no one's going to play them. If anybody plays, you know, everybody's going to rush to the bottom of the barrel here to get the Ersan Ilyasovas and Marquise Chris and, you know, a cheap Zach Randolph and stuff like that. That's going to be power forward in cash games. But you have LaMarcus Aldridge, a guy who's getting 34 minutes. We know he has a ceiling. He's been very, very consistent. He just played the Knicks and had an excellent game against them. Now, he's not getting as much usage with Kawhi out there. He is scoring less. That's fine. But I think that he's an interesting price point, and I think he's an interesting pivot play. But, of course, he's not necessarily your son, Ilyasova. He's one of my cash game core guys. They just allow massive front court scoring there in Phoenix. And, you know, Ilyasova has been playing very, very well of late. Now, John Collins is also there, okay? And Ilyasova is 5,751 on DK. And, you know, John Collins is more expensive on FanDuel, which I don't necessarily understand because Ilyasova scores more. But Collins has been rebounding really well. He's been adding a couple blocks here. And I think that should continue. And you have a situation where he might actually be able to score more points because he's been shooting really poorly. I mean, 2 of 8, 3 of 8 in the last couple games. So if he gets a couple more points, you know, if you see him up in one of these games where he has, you know, 15 points, you could see him get up to 30 fantasy points, but still, that's not very good. I think on DraftKings, he's perfectly fine at 4,900. I think that on FanDuel, Ilyasova is the smarter play only because he's just a much more aggressive scorer and he actually can score. Like, we know he can score 15 or 20 points, and he's been doing it regularly. So I think Ilyasova is the smarter play. They're basically dead even split between their minutes there. So those are two plays that I think you're going to see a lot of ownership on in cash games at the power forward position. And then maybe some Marquise Chris as well. We'll talk about him in the bargain basement. He's interesting. If he gets a little bit more run, you just never know when he's going to get 28 minutes versus 20. But let's talk about center. You know, Dwight is very intriguing. I think he's a great late hammer against Sacramento. They've struggled with centers all year, 29th in DVP. They can't protect the rim. They can't protect the paint. So long as he avoids the foul trouble, man, you really got to like him. I mean, 3 of the last 5, he's had over 40 and over 50. And then two of those that weren't those last five, he was a total bust. He had like 6 and 20. So it's the foul trouble for him that's always been a problem. It's the commitment. It's the effort. We know that if he checks out and he gets a foul trouble, then that's a problem. Like, he's going to be worthless. So it definitely not something that we can trust, but I think he's as close to the best play at center base that you can get. The one issue that I do have is the price. I mean, he's $8,900 on FanDuel. That's, you're asking a lot. That's asking Dwight a lot, and he could totally destroy your lineup at that price. So I don't think you have to play him there. But like on DK, yeah, you definitely play him there. So that's interesting to me. The other center play that I'm keeping an eye on is DeAndre Jordan. I mean, he's at home. He's been getting 32 minutes. He's been very consistent, and it's not because of the points necessarily. It's because of the rebounds. And I think that, you know, even though Memphis plays a very slow pace, he's going to be probably the highest rebounder in this game. He's probably going to lead the entire game in rebounding. So you have to like that. And in his last game against Memphis, he only had 29 fantasy points, but he did have quite a few rebounds. In that game, he had 18 rebounds. He just didn't score any points. So that's kind of the concern. I mean, if you can get the floor of 15 to 20 rebounds, which has been very, very safe for him, then and you can add 10 points, then you're fine. You're good with DJ. You know, and obviously without Dwight, or excuse me, with Blake back, the scoring isn't there as much. So it's just the center's thin. And, you know, you're looking at a guy like Tyson Chandler as maybe your best option. And so you do want to kind of shop around and think like, okay, who else has a path to a ceiling? Is it Nurkic? Well, not really. Not with the way that, you know, they've been playing. Is it Kevin Love? His price is okay, but he's questionable right now. And Portland is a phenomenal rebounding team. So no, not really. You're not going to get any rebounding edge there. Is it Marc Gasol? Yeah, maybe, but he's so inconsistent and he's priced up. So there's a lot of guys you can talk yourself in and out of, which is frustrating. There's a lot of plays that you're going to talk yourself in and out of. So Dwight is appealing, and DJ to some degree as well, just because you know their minutes are there and we know what they're capable of on the glass and just as, you know, steady contributors. All right, let's go on to the bargain basement here and let's take a look at guys who are 5,500 and below at point guard. I mentioned him before, George Hill versus Charlotte. Very appealing. Keep your eye on the news about the injuries, but the fact that Frank Mason is out in general obviously helps him in a major way. So he is definitely one of the guys that I'm taking a look at. I think you could look at the San Antonio guys too. I mean, you know, you have Tony Parker getting plenty of run. And then, you know, Patty Mills and Deontay Murray basically splitting the rest, but they're both min price. I mean, you have Patty Mills at min price for 20 minutes against the Knicks. Okay, right? Like, you could see Patty Mills scoring 20 fantasy points against the Knicks in that time. Like, that's not crazy. And I, you know, it seems it's a punt, it's a total punt, but it's not crazy to think that you could plug in a Patty Mills or a Tony Parker or something like that. So, and we always got to keep our eye on the injury rotations for the Spurs as well. At the shooting guard position, I think it's got to be someone like Bogdanovich or Buddy Hield. The problem with these two guys is they're almost impossible to project. And Bogdan had a really nice game against Cleveland the other day, but part of that came from four steals. So at 4,800, what are we asking for? We're asking for over 20, under 25, between 20 and 25 fantasy points. Okay, but I could get that from Marco Bellinelli against Phoenix, right? I mean, how can I not get that from Marco Bellinelli? 25 minutes, very, very consistent in what he's been doing lately. So I actually think Marco Bellinelli is one of my favorites. I'm going to stay away from a guy like J.R. Smith just because I don't know how his minutes will be affected. And him and Dwayne Wade, I don't know how they're going to be affected. I think they're probably the two that take one of the biggest hits from the return of IT. I think that is something that I feel comfortable saying as well. Danny Green at 4K, that's just too cheap. I mean, he is another guy on the Spurs very capable of putting up points. So those are kind of the cheap guys that I'm looking at. I think Kent Bazemore is hard to get into for me. I just don't trust him. I never have. And he hasn't been playing a lot of minutes. So I would rather go down to Marco Bellinelli in that situation. At small forward, oh man, you know, Torian Prince is probably the lowest that you can go. MKG is interesting. But the minutes haven't really popped for him for a while. Kyle Anderson is just so juicy at 4,200 because he's basically, the second half of Kawhi's minutes. So as soon as Kawhi is out, it's Kyle Anderson because Rudy Gay is out with the heel injury. So that is interesting to me. Evan Turner is also interesting versus Cleveland at 3,700. You know, that game against Chicago, total outlier. But what's not an outlier is that Mo Harkless is not playing. And so it's Evan Turner all the way. He has been the guy. He's not good. I don't care what you say. He's in one of the worst contracts of the year or of the in the league, period. But he is a guy that, you know, we can play with some confidence at that price point at 3,700 to feel, you know, relatively good about the return on that. I think you can comfortably say that he can return value on $3,700. At the power forward position, I think, like I said, I already mentioned some of these guys in the, you know, in the grout section, but like an Al-Farouq Aminu, very interesting to me. He's been getting plenty of run. We know he plays the minutes. He's going to be out there guarding LeBron. That's not a bad matchup at all. I like him a lot. I wish I knew Zach Randolph was going to get minutes and I would lock him in, no question, at that price point, but he hasn't been getting the minutes. And I think the only other play that you could possibly go down to is maybe a Frank the Tank, but that's just too expensive for me. I mean, I think Frank the Tank is too expensive for what his role is right now and how inconsistent he is in his scoring. I mean, he can score 8 points, he can score 18 points, and you don't really know where he's going to be on a night-to-night basis. So those are guys that I'm taking a look at, but I'm probably going to try to stick in the 5K range here. With guys like Ilyasova and Aminu. I think that those are the plays. And Marquese Chris, you know, I mean, Atlanta's really bad in the front court and he's been playing well. It's just a question, you know, does he get on the right side of Triano and stay on the floor, or does he, you know, act like an idiot and get blown up? Michael Beasley. Talk about a tournament play. How many times has Michael Beasley been in a winning GPP lineup this year? At center, Tyson Chandler, end of story. Maybe Alex Len, actually. You know, they've been basically 50-50 on a lot of their minutes. So Alex Len and Tyson Chandler, that's about it for me, guys. I mean, maybe Miles Plumlee. You know, Miles Plumlee certainly is cheap at 3,800. I don't have a problem with his 20 minutes at 3,800. If Kevin Love sits, then Tristan Thompson is a phenomenal play. You know, no doubt about it. He's just too cheap and nobody's been playing him. So I have zero issue with that. But that's about it. That's about it. I don't think there's a lot at center tonight. I got to be honest with you. I really don't see a lot. So good luck with that. That's going to be a tough position. People may pay up for Dwight and just say, I don't really trust the rest of these options. All right, let's jump over to FanDuel. Let's go ahead and throw together kind of a first glance lineup here. At small forward, it's going to start with LeBron. At shooting guard, it's Devin Booker. Okay, those are the two guys that I'm really going to lock. I think I'm going to lock onto at small forward, a power forward. I'm going to go to a guy, Ersan Ilyasova. I mentioned him earlier. I think Al-Farouq Aminu is about as far down as I want to go there unless we get some injury news. I could see maybe a guy like a... Yeah, no, I'm just going to stay with that right now. So we're going to need to open up some value. I have no problem going over a shooting guard to a guy like a Marco Bellinelli, let's say. Of course, guys, this is a quick build. Let's go point guard, George Hill. He's my point guard too. And then that is going to leave me about 7K, 6,800 for center, a small forward, and a point guard. Now, let's see. If I go down at center... And I go to, if I go down to a Tyson Chandler, totally fine with that. Go to Tyson Chandler. Then that's going to leave me some serious dough at some nice money for small forward and point guard. So let's say I do a TJ Warren, and then I can do, I can't get up to Dame. Well, no, let's do Dennis Schroeder. And then I have 8,400 at 8,400 at the, you know what? Let's do this. Let's go down at shooting guard and then let's go up. Let's go down at shooting guard to a Evan Turner and then let's go or small forward. And then let's go up at shooting guard. Oh man. That actually works. Okay. So then I have CJ McCollum there. Let's see if I can upgrade Tyson Chandler. I can't really upgrade Tyson Chandler. I'm going to have to fool with it a little bit. But basically right now, it looks like this, okay? Devin Booker, CJ McCollum at shooting guard. LeBron and Evan Turner, which I don't know how much I love that. I mean, but I think it's an easy high-low pairing, right? You avoid that middle range. The only guy you really like in that middle range is TJ Warren anyway, right? George Hill, Dennis Schroeder, that's easy. That's chalky, fine, whatever. Ersan Ilyasova, Al-Farouq Aminu, I think are well priced given the role in their minutes. And then you have to figure out center, and center is going to be the real bugaboo of the slate. And then I think, like, if you go, let's see this actually, if you go up to Dwight, so I can do that. I can do this with Dwight and Marco Bellinelli, right? Like I can go George Hill, Dennis Schroeder, Devin Booker, Marco Bellinelli, LeBron, Evan Turner, Ersan, Al-Farouq Aminu, Dwight Howard. So those core high price type plays that I have in there are LeBron, Dwight, Devin Booker, and Dennis Schroeder. But you're going to have to fool with it a little bit because you also have some kind of low floor guys. You know, George Hill, Marco Bellinelli, Evan Turner, those floors are bad. Those are some bad, I mean, those are 8 point floors for some of these guys. So be careful. Center is really going to be the thing that you have to figure out for yourself now that I'm looking at this. It's an ugly, ugly center slate. And I think that you're going to see, you know, very concentrated ownership on what's his name? Tyson Chandler and Dwight Howard, which is fine. Which is fine. I think, you know, obviously Tyson Chandler is the cheaper one, so you probably see him owned higher in cash games. But that's it, guys. That is it for me. I'm going to get out of here tomorrow, bringing you more NBA action, monster slate. We're all NBA all the time. Patreon.com/lineuplogic, baby. Let's go. Get over there. Get you some fantasy 5x5 on cheat sheets. It's all happening. We're going full tilt.